السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My most respected ulama ikram, elders and brothers, all those listening over the receivers, all praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Peace and salutations be upon our beloved master, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his countless bounties and blessings that he has showered upon us. And the most best and most greatest bounty that Allah has bestowed upon us, he made us reciters of this kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. He granted us iman. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he grants us steadfastness on iman, and inshallah resurrect us on the day of Qiyamah with iman. There's a beautiful dua we can read: Allahumma thabbitna ala al-iman wa amitna ma'al iman wa hshuna yawm al-qiyamati ma'al iman. Alhamdulillah, people and ulama come every week and they give many bayans. I'm not qualified enough to give you bayans, but I'm just going to share some important aspects and maybe facts, a little bit of a different type of a bayan I'm going to give today. But I want you to bear with me, and perhaps just a point of reflection and some aspects for us to think of in a little bit different. Ulama are giving every Friday, alhamdulillah. We make dua, Allah keep their shadow over us and give us all the tawfiq of making amal on their advices. Just before I go to what I wanted to share, is we should try and remember abundant istighfar. And the benefit of that is Rasulullah has mentioned, من نزم الاستغفار جعل الله من كل هم فرجا وَمِن كُلِّ دِيقٍ مَخْرَجًا وَرَزَقَهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Especially in the light of the challenges we are facing nowadays, you know, the petrol price has gone up, diesel has gone so expensive, there is so much of volatility and insecurity, and you know, the world condition in the world, we all are aware of what's happening. So there's a sense of restlessness, uneasiness in our personal life, even in our businesses. We're not sure what is going to happen. You know, some companies are thinking of, you know, short time, because now it's expensive to run the machinery, diesel is gone expensive, transport costs go up, and there's a ripple effect of what's happening in the world for the person on the ground, and all of us are some way or the other affected. So the Prophet said that that person who will make abundant istighfar, actually the word he used is lazim al istighfar, a person who will stick to istighfar, will hold on steadfast and make lots of istighfar, then جعل الله من كل هم فرجا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way out for him from all his anxieties and the stresses that he's experiencing. And so من كل ضيق مخرجا, and from every constraint and restrictive situation you might find yourself in, Allah will find a way out for you. You might think that all the doors are closed, everything is looking so difficult, even maybe personal issues, domestic issues, or medical issues, or business issues, whatever it is, and everything seems to be closed. Make istighfar, Allah will find a way out for you. Min kulli diqin makhraja. Allah is the one who will find, the conditions come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to turn more to Him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will find ways out for us. And wa razaqahu min haythu la yahtasib. Allah will sustain and provide from you, from avenues that we never ever imagine. We think that it's our businesses that are providing for us, or the investments that we have is going to sustain us and keep us going, or this rental income I have, so we feel sometimes satisfied, and our conviction and our gaze goes on those means that we adopted. Is a very dangerous situation, because conditions can change overnight. Always remember, these are means, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who provides for us. So making istighfar, Allah will provide for us min haythu la yahtasib, from such avenues we cannot ever imagine. And also keep in mind, so what is what istighfar? Also keep in mind that the whole purpose of fasting, already today is the 21st of Shaban, 21 days sorry, Shawwal, 21 days of Shawwal, 3 weeks have passed from the month of Ramadan. So now Ramadan, the whole idea of Ramadan was to get taqwa in our lives. And this taqwa must continue being an integral and important part of our everyday lives. Even though Ramadan is over, taqwa was not only for Ramadan, it was to make a metamorphosis, a whole change come into our lives. And the benefit of that, Allah says, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْ قُرَانَ, that that person who has taqwa, the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he keeps reminding himself Allah is watching, Allah knows, Allah is listening. Whatever we are heard and reminded from the ulama ikram in Ramadan, etc. So the taqwa, whoever has that, he says, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will find a way out for him. The Arabic word for exit is khuruj. So makhraj is a place for coming out from some tricky situation, some predicament you might find yourself in. So the prescription given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, adopt taqwa, Allah will find a way out for you from all your situations. And then he says, the ayat, that the same verse continues, وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. The second thing, together with istighfar, is put our reliance and our tawakkul and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, adopting the means, whatever means we need to adopt it. But our reliance and our gaze should be wholly and solely in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, oh Allah, I am doing this, but you are the one that is going to put effect in it. Whether it's a prophet that you need, whether it's a shifa that you need, whether it's a family situation, whatever. That Allah, I'm putting my trust on you. And that is why the hadith, the Prophet says, لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَتَوَكَّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ, that if only you trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as you ought to trust Him, حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ, not just anyhow, how we're supposed to be fulfilling the rights of tawakkul, and with the true frame of mind, with our hearts connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we ought to be putting trust on Him, then He says, لَرَزَقَكُمْ كَمَا يُرْزَقُ الطَّيْرُ, that Allah will provide for you like how the birds are provided. He says, تَغْدُو خِمَاسًا, the bird leaves its nest in the morning, empty stomach, not knowing where it's going to find its food from, which worm it's going to catch, doesn't know. But it leaves the nest and it adopts the means. But it puts its trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by the time the evening comes, you see, وَتَرُوهُ بِطَانًا, in the evening when it returns back home, then it comes back, its stomach is full. So our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very, very important. Situations, halat come, a reminder for us. These are situations and occasions for us to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So istighfar, abundance of istighfar, and putting our reliance and trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshaAllah. So coming back to the point that I wanted to share with you, is alhamdulillah we're living in a community. As a Muslim community, we are minority, 3%, 4%, 5%, whatever it is. But most certainly in South Africa, we are a minority. We are a small percentage of the massive population. There's 60 million people in South Africa. We may be 3 million, 2 million people, small percentage. But alhamdulillah, we have lots to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. We travel in different parts of the world, ask those people that travel. Even in some of the Muslim countries, they don't have the opportunities and the facilities and the avenues of practicing deen as much as we have. So alhamdulillah, despite being a minority Muslim community, we have a lot to be grateful for and thank, make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. But we have to also be people who are aware and conscious of the environment we are living in, and also see in what way we can become contributors to the broader community and society. Alhamdulillah, as a Muslim community, we are doing excellent. We have many masajid and musallas established, and mashallah, we have Darul Ulooms, and we have other avenues of khair that are taking place, the jamiyats and Darul Iftas. Alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the khankas and the work of dawat and tabligh is taking place. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take it from strength to strength and grant us a part and ability to be part and parcel of those efforts. But the reality and my point of discussion today is there are another 58 million people in South Africa. And we are a 2%, 2 million people. How much are we doing? And what are we doing as a community to contribute and to make a lasting impression and impact on those people? And contribute, because alhamdulillah, the businesses that we are doing, we are gaining from the people of South Africa. Muslim or non-Muslim, there's no distinction. The business and the customers come, we're making business. But are we giving back to those communities? Yes, the greatest thing we can give to them is to the communities around us is give them da'wah and invite them towards Islam. And that is everybody's responsibility. All of us sitting here have a duty and a responsibility to convey the message. فَلْيُبَلِّغْ أَشْهَاءِ مِنْكُمُ الْغَيْدِ بَلِّغُوا أَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةِ The Prophet said, it's the responsibility, it's not the job only of the Tablighi Jamaat or some group to do da'wah. Every one of us know the kalima in our own ways. And if you don't know, then seek guidance from the ulama and the reliable groups that are making effort to give da'wah and to give deen to the masses. But the reality I'm coming to is that we have an unemployment rate in South Africa of over 33%. Over 30%. It means one in every three persons is unemployed. They have no jobs. Every third person you go to doesn't have a job. The unemployment rate in South Africa is over 30%. If you look at the crime that we find in South Africa, again, I'm just giving a different type of bayan today, so please forgive me. The crime in South Africa is approximately 76 murders are taking place every day. Over 70 people are murdered every day. Over 100 people are raped every day in South Africa. Now what are we going to do about all of this? We're saying the crime is bad, unemployment is so much. There are over 25 million, over 25 million. Statistics have 26 million people live on government grants in South Africa. That means the government, you paying your tax, the tax, some of it is being, somebody's getting 1,000 rand, somebody, whatever the grants they're getting. But over 25 million people are living on some type of grant that they get from the government. And we know the violence that is there, and we know the substance abuse, and there are a whole host of issues that exist in the societies and the communities that we are living in. If you take another statistic, we have over 900,000 in 2025 completed school. Does our community, does our country have the facilities to accommodate? What happens to these 900,000 people? Do we have jobs for 900,000 people? So, as a Muslim community, alhamdulillah, we have to keep sustaining our masjids, we have to keep sustaining our madrasas and khankas, and they must keep going, and as I said, they must flourish. But we have to start thinking of macro projects as a Muslim community where we can contribute to the broader community as well. Not just giving hampers, it's important, we should give hampers and some charity we're giving, but we have to start thinking more strategically and from a more macro level and developing systems where we're creating employment opportunities, for example. So if you have companies and you're creating more jobs for people, think of ways that you can employ more people or create such avenues where people are skilled more. So it's not just giving a person the fish, but as a Muslim collective community, we have to think about ways of how we can create people, maybe who will give them the rod and teach them how to fish. So we need to now empower more people, maybe upskill small businesses, etc. And this is something as a Muslim community, it will also part of our sadaqah jariyah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he spoke about sadaqah jariyah, he says, إِذَا مَاتَ إِبْنُ آدَمْ إِنْ قَتَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ When a person has to die, then all his sadaqah will terminate. All his actions will terminate. So you won't be able to do any actions. إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ Except with three things. He says, sadaqatun jariyah was one of them. One is sadaqah jariyah, continuous sadaqah. And by us empowering a person, it doesn't necessarily have to be a Muslim person. Any person we empower, upskill them. We give empowered small businesses. We give them some goods. Okay, start your business. And basically, we have to think more that more people employ. Indirectly, we will benefit because the money will come around back to us. So that's one. Another thing we have to look at, perhaps strategically, is skills development and education. One is from economic empowerment. We look at ways of getting more people employment, creating jobs for more people, starting off small businesses, giving people a little bit of capital to start off their businesses and have some systems in place like that. Then also it's education and skills development. Perhaps it is through setting up, yes, we have our Muslim schools and we have our madrasas that are functioning. But again, what about the masses? Maybe we set up some type of vocational training schools where skills are taught to people, plumbers, electricians. As a Muslim community, who do we expect for this? We're always thinking that the government's job to do this and the government's going to do this. But as a Muslim community, if we put our resources together, we can set up these type of institutes and inshallah contribute to the broader community. Then what about the houses? Alhamdulillah, we have comfortable homes and we have comfortable places to live in. But whether you go this way, right, whether you go left, there are many, many of these what we call shacks and jundolos that are existing. And we keep complaining, this is what's happening. But as a Muslim community, what are we doing to provide shelter, to provide accommodation? Because people need food, they need shelter, they need water. Yes, again, our mind will go immediately to the government. It's their job, we're giving them our taxes. But in our own small way, if we start to think of more micro projects, more from a strategic level, and empower and upskill people, give them homes to live in, and find ways. I don't have the solution, I'm just putting these ideas across, and perhaps something for us to think about. And also when we're doing these community outreach projects and social upliftment projects, we have to start thinking very much more strategically. Like if you look at Ramadan, we find some places everybody was going to the same orphanage or same underprivileged places, and it is giving them some hampers and some food, and that was like, we did my job and over, and khalas, rest of the year. We forgot of those people, we're not even getting involved in them. And maybe providing bursaries for those brighter ones, providing education for them. Some maybe homes they're living in, they don't have exposure. So there are different ways we can perhaps look at more sustainable, long-term ways of upskilling people. And together with that, also we have a moral obligation to the communities we live in. We know, alhamdulillah, Allah gave us deen, and the amount of vices and ill that takes place. Yes, they are not Muslims, but how are we, do we ever interact with them in our akhlaq, the way we do our behavior? Have we ever showed them what true Islam is? We have a duty and responsibility in a way to enrich them and empower them and upskill them and bring them closer to the akhlaq that we want them to. We don't expect the wrong people to give the correct ideas. So we have the correct solutions, time to reach out to these people. Perhaps it's more outreach programs, it is some interaction and engagement in smaller circles that we have. If we have a community forums that we have, we should get involved in more of those things. Many times there's a community forum that exists. We're very quick as a Muslim community to say this is not working, that is not happening. But when there's a meeting that's taking place, for the same, then how many of our Muslim people are really involved in these community forums? Hardly any. So we're very quick to talk about it and to complain. But what proactive engagement are we, how are we getting proactively involved in finding solutions to these community problems? And if you're not going to get involved, then the other people are going to get involved, and then we'll have very much lot to say about it. So as this to come to a conclusion, another way of looking at this whole thing is to create waqfs. Waqf is a very, very powerful tool we have. And I just want to clarify, many of our families sitting here as well, we have trusts. So it's important for us to understand that a trust is not necessarily a waqf. Islamic waqf means that you have donated a certain building, a simple example, you have a certain building, you have donated that for a charitable purpose at the end. But it's a very, very powerful tool you can use, because it is based on the person that created the waqf. He can dictate, he can say, right, I'm giving this property as waqf, means eventually it's going to be for some charitable cause, for the poor, or for the orphans, or for upliftment, whatever it is, for the masjid, for the madrasa, whatever it is. But before that, as long as I'm living, I will be taking the income of it. And if I die, then my wife will be taking the income of it, and my children will take the income of it, my grandchildren will be taking the income. Eventually, but it will end up in a charitable cause. That is again very different. That is the concept of waqf, where the end result is a charitable cause. We can just get more details and finer information from the muftis. What we have nowadays as a trust is something different. Most of the time, these are just set up as tax for tax purposes, to prevent the extra tax and whatever the implications are. Now it's important for us as families who have these trusts set up to clarify, because what we are finding in many, many homes, People have this trust set up, families have this family trust, and the person that created the trust, he is the total custodian of it, he is in charge of it. And when he leaves this world, then what happens now? Is it something that's supposed to be dissolved? Technically, if he is the owner, then it ought to be dissolved. If it's a waqf, then what dictates and continues? So these need to be clarified. Many of us haven't clarified this. We don't know ourselves what is written in that trust. We got some lawyer who did this trust deed for us. Maybe the accountant helped us. It was just to save some tax. But ourselves, we don't know what's happening when we die. Our family also don't know what's the implications. What should happen to the trust? Should it be dissolved? It sounds easy, dissolve the trust. What if there's big businesses and properties? Who takes responsibility? Is it according to Sharia? Are the shares according to Sharia? Or is it supposed to be equal? What about the grandchildren who are perhaps beneficiaries? It's very, very huge amanat that these people, who are, those of us set up trust to understand, we need to sort it out whilst we are alive. Don't leave your problem for somebody else when you learn from this world to worry about. So open up these trust deeds, understand what it is, and perhaps create some facility, I'm linking into my discussion, to have some type of a waqf feature in it where we empower our communities in the challenges that they face. Again, it is going to benefit us indirectly. When you teach somebody, I'm just giving an example to illustrate this point, you found somebody who was desperate, never had a job, so you maybe gave him some capital, he started a business, and alhamdulillah, his business did well, then he's going to employ somebody else. All the reward is going to come to you. Maybe he needs something to buy. He's going to come back and buy it from you. Then the people that he employed also need those items. It's going to be a ripple effect and going to be a multiple benefit in empowering others. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just to conclude, the beginning of my talk was about istighfar, the challenges we are facing and the stresses we have and anxiety we face because of what's happening in the world. Two things we do is istighfar, lots of istighfar. Secondly, put our reliance and tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the second half of my discussion, I hope so, I try to get the message across, is that as Muslims minority in South Africa, we have a majority in South Africa who are unemployed. Majority of our youth, over 40%, don't have jobs. The crime rate is so high, there is a shortage of homes, medical issues, the lines are there in the hospitals. So as a Muslim community, let us look at strategic developments that, yes, put our masjids and musallas. Alhamdulillah, there are so many existing nowadays that perhaps even we can lose count. But let us look at strategic developments, how we can set up institutes that empower community, how we can provide capital for people, education, take care of the housing, take care of the medical needs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and inspire us and work as a collective. If we think individuals, it'd be hard for us, but inshallah we put our resources and our intellect together and we think of it as a collective, inshallah we can find solutions and give whatever direction is needed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us Rabbi Bully of practicing wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.